Nezuma gritted his teeth and pulled himself farther up the rope as the waterfall crashed down on his shoulders. At the very top, he saw Shuko's hand reach for him, and he grabbed it, finally hauling himself over the ledge and into the cave entrance.
That was a challenge.
I wasn't sure I could do it, but at least we're here now.
The cave they sat in was about 4 feet high, impossible to stand in, but easy enough to traverse by crawling. The rock walls seemed smooth. Nezuma ran his hand along the cool stone and shook his head.
Do you really think this is the way in?
I haven't had a chance to explore farther in. My goal was to get here, find an anchor for the rope, and then get you up here.
Nezuma watched her open the dry bag and check the weapons. She nodded and then handed Nezuma his UMP while she fixed the strap on the G-36.
They're fine. No trace of water damage at all.
Excellent.
Let me check what's ahead. Seems okay. But you never know...
Shuko!
Nezuma eased himself forward as fast as he felt he was able to. The presence of what could only be booby traps frightened him. Shuko lay on her side, gasping through her mouth. Nezuma scrambled over her.
What happened?
Blade. It got me in the top of my chest.
Nezuma looked at the injury. If she'd ducked her head, it might have caught her directly in the face, but since she was looking up, it had sliced into her chest and embedded itself into her lung. Pinkish red foam bubbled out of her mouth. Shuko gripped Nezuma's hands.
I'm sorry, Master.
No more, Master.
I love you.
I know.
I... No. You would have killed me anyway.
What?
When you found it, you would have killed me.
I...
Do it.
No, there's no need.
You would have anyway. Don't let me die like this. If you aren't man enough to love me, then at least be man enough to kill me.
Nezuma unholstered the UMP and brought it up to Shuko's heart. He looked into her eyes, but found only contempt staring back. Her lips parted one more time.
Please.
You'll be dead soon anyway. I'd rather not waste a bullet.
This complicated things, though. He would have to deal with Kenichi and Creed on his own, rather than have the backup that Shuko had provided. He thought about going back and taking her weapon as well, but disregarded it. The G-36 was too big, and dragging a bag of worthless gear might weigh him down. He moved on, careful now because of the booby traps. He didn't want to end up like Shuko.
Eiji, what exactly did you mean when you said we'd find out?
It's why you are here, and it's why you're destined to go. Everyone who seeks the Vajra must seek it in the same way. There are no shortcuts.
Too bad. I was hoping I'd show you the tattoo and maybe you would roll it out here for me.
That was a joke, correct?
Apparently not a very good one.
Eiji pointed down the corridor to a door.
That is where you must go now, if you truly seek the Vajra.
Through the door? That's it?
The door will lead you to a series of caves and a labyrinth built into the mountain. There are numerous options, and only by choosing wisely will you find the Vajra at the end of it.
Have you ever been in there?
You aren't the first person to think that putting a weapon to my skull and forcing me to reveal the path to the Vajra would save a lot of time and energy.
You haven't. The Vajra was placed inside long before you were born. And to safeguard it properly, there's no way they'd reveal how to get it.
You are correct. The secret died many, many years ago. And none are alive who would know how to get past the various obstacles. I can only tell you the same thing I've told the others who came here. Be careful.
Great. Anya, are you ready for this?
Anya felt her shoulder, which seemed much better since she'd had Eiji's tea.
Yeah, I think so. I'm kind of looking forward to the challenge.
Eiji bowed once more to them.
Weapons are not allowed inside. Otherwise, I would return your supplies to you. They will be here for you when you return. If you return.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Eiji bowed a final time and then strode off, leaving Anya and Ken alone in the silent corridor. The torches flickered and cast shadows that leaped from the wall to the floor and back again. Each time, the light illuminated a different section of the rock wall, revealing the many facets of it.
I guess there's not much more to do, is there?
Except to go in and get it. We've come this far. To turn back now.
I can't turn back. This is where my destiny lies. My search either ends here, or else it opens up a whole new world for me.
I'm hoping for option two myself.
As am I.
They walked down the hall to the door. Like all the other doors in the mountain monastery, this one was also made of stone. Ken looked at the hinge work and shook his head.
I wouldn't even know how to imagine creating a working hinge made out of a stone like this. It's amazing.
The whole concept of this place is amazing. Who would ever believe that such places existed? With all the technology we have and all the places we've explored, there are things still right beneath our noses that we don't know anything about.
Live and learn. Here we go. Smells musty.
Anya got two torches from the brackets on the walls and handed one to Ken.
This might help.
The torches immediately lit up the area beyond the door. But rather than anything remarkable, the only thing they found waiting for them was yet another corridor.
This place is built like a pyramid. Miles and miles of corridors with very few real rooms. You could get lost and never know how to get out if you were in here alone.
Ken ducked inside with her. The roof was lower and the smoke from the torches billowed up and spilled across the stone above them.
It looks like it runs about 100 feet before there's a wall farther down.
Shall we?
You don't think there'd be any booby traps at this stage, do you?
Honestly, no. I don't think this is the official start of anything. Eiji said this door would take us to a place where there was a series of caves that would then lead us to a labyrinth, right?
Yes.
Then I think we're safe here.
Nothing ventured.
They walked down the corridor. As they did, Anya hoped that she hadn't been wrong, that she wouldn't suddenly hear some sort of rushing air that might signal poison darts or hidden scythes swooping down to kill them. They made their way slowly and carefully, but nothing surprised them. They reached the end of the corridor and saw that it turned to the left and sloped upward.
I guess we go up.
Anya followed him up the hallway, discovering that they both had to duck as they rose in height, since the roof seemed to get lower and lower as they progressed.
Who built this? A drunk engineer?
Look ahead.
Looks like it levels off.
Yes, and beyond that, I see dark openings.
Anya's heart quickened. Finally, it seemed as if they were close to the final stage of their search. If they could make it past the traps and obstacles and actually retrieve the Vajra, all would be good. Then they'd only have to figure out a way to take care of the people waiting to take it from them. They arrived at the end of the corridor and stood on a level patch of stonework in front of 3 cave entrances. Ken and Anya examined all of them, looking for any obvious signs that one would be a better choice than the others. They could find nothing.
Each one seems identical to the other.
I suppose they'd have to be. No sense bothering if they couldn't make the very first obstacle a challenge.
This is an obstacle, isn't it?
Sure. Not in the traditional sense, but choosing the wrong path could quite obviously kill us. This may actually be the toughest part of the entire search to get the Vajra.
You really think so?
Nah, there are probably worse things inside.
Oh, great.
You have any thoughts on this?
Would tossing a coin be bad form?
It might not do wonders for your career if people found out you'd chosen something based on a coin toss rather than exhaustive scientific analysis and historical perspective, but it's fine by me.
Great. Heads or tails?
Anya?
Yes?
There are 3 cave entrances here.
I know that.
Your coin only has 2 sides.
We can do 2 out of 3 and... No. There's gotta be something we can deduce.
Any thoughts from a historical perspective you think might be important here?
I wish I had my laptop. I could punch this whole situation in and see what comes up.
Ken stood in front of the first entrance and closed his eyes. Anya watched him.
What are you doing?
Stand here and close your eyes. Remember what we were talking about at the waterfall. Go inside and check yourself against using this as the way in.
Anya closed her eyes and saw herself walking into the cave. Almost immediately, she felt a vague stab of pain in her stomach.
No! Sorry, I didn't mean...
Don't apologize. I got the same feeling. This is not the one to use.
They moved down to the next entrance and repeated the process. Again, they both got a bad feeling. At the entrance to the third, Anya smiled.
Do we even need to do this with this one? It's the only one left.
Just to be sure.
Anya closed her eyes again and walked into the entrance in her mind. This time, she found it perfectly comfortable. She opened her eyes to tell Ken this was definitely the one to use.
Ken, this... Hey!
Cool, huh?
How did that happen?
The only way I could explain that is that our bodies took over and moved us in there in order to show us it was safe. Much of this next stage might be a willingness on our part to almost switch off our conscious minds and let our instincts take over.
I wish I could do that easily. But honestly, I don't know if I can turn it off.
Well, the fact that you're standing in the cave with me right now proves that you can. Just relax and pay attention to how you feel physically as we proceed. That will be the best source of answers, I think.
They moved deeper into the cave, walking slowly. The walls closed in as they advanced, forcing them to switch to single file.
I'll go first. No sense in making you trip any traps. This is my family's relic, after all.
We'll swap it out every so often. I knew the risks going into this thing. It's not fair for you to take them all.
He nodded, and then continued along. The cave walls suddenly opened up, and there in front of them, they saw a huge chasm.
Looks like we've arrived at our first challenge.
Second. The first was getting in here, remember?
It's too far to jump to the other side. We'd never make it.
Ken looked at the rim.
Our ledge ends just down there. There's no way to skirt across to the other side, and we don't have climbing gear to attempt the walls.
They look pretty smooth anyway. Probably worn that way by the air and water over the years.
I guess we'll have to think of something else then.
Or not think about it at all.
Without hesitating, she walked off the ledge into the chasm. Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.